Rolling. What's happening, y'all? Andy and Zach broadcasting from Studios 353 here in East Nashville, Tennessee.
You look funny holding the microphone.
I was hoping you were going to point that out.
I think what we should do for fun, for funsies, is get you like a troll doll and shove that in the head of it, because that's kind of what it looks like you're talking into.
Yeah, the wind breaker, whatever you call this thing.
The fuzzy. The fuzzy
that one puts over a microphone to help cut down a noise. Well, that's exactly what we have going on here. So if you guys were listening to the last episode, we now have independent wireless mics. And through some trial and error today, we found out that, I think probably because my shirts are a little on the tight side, when my mic is clipped onto my collar, the unit actually reverberates off my chest cavity. Because I think, you know, I got that deep.
You got like that baritone or whatever.
That deep baritone.
Yeah. I was a tenor too, so you would have been maybe a bass one.
So I think it rattles the microphone. So instead of having it clipped on and looking cool, I'm looking decidedly more uncool and just holding it in front of my face.
You know, I feel like there's a missed opportunity here because we've already talked about you doing like ASMR as like a side gig. So now that we know that you have the voice for ASMR and the microphone reverberates, buddy, I think there's an OnlyFans opportunity here, or YouTube ASMR. Just start doing ASMR on your YouTube page already. You have the following. Just like add ASMR as part of your YouTube content.
Honestly,
kettlebells and Zach's voice being soothing.
I think some people would be into just like hearing like the huffing and puffing and breathing of like a workout. Maybe if I just clip this thing on during like a lifting session, and it's just guttural grunts and joint cracking as Andy is demonstrating right now.
I'd listen to that just for fun. I think it'd be funny. Yeah. But some people might like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slurping water from the fountain.
Yeah.
Every other set.
Yeah. I think we're onto something. Let's just do this on our Saturday workout. All the playful banter on our Saturday workouts plus all the grunting. All the animal noises,
that
as I like
fun.
To call them. Yeah. All right, we'll try this. And then if we make some money on it.
Can't make money on the things I'm actually trying to make money on. Yeah. But who knows? Could be the move.
I was going to say these new microphone setups, courtesy of our sponsor, the Zach Henderson Charity.
yes, the Zach Henderson Fund for continued advancement in the
podcast technology realm, whatever.
Yeah. Sponsored by the Zach Henderson Fund.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no, my pleasure. My pleasure. You know, it's funny. I actually dropped dime on a wireless lavalier mic setup specifically for the iPhone that I've had for a couple years. And this sounds about the same, but obviously this particular setup is more versatile. So theoretically, we could hook this up into an iPhone or through the computer like we have here, or into like a real camera. And obviously there's two mics. So I'm pretty pleased with the setup so far. And this is the Rode Wireless Go 2. If anybody's curious.
Yeah, for all of our would-be podcasters out there.
Yes.
Trying to get on our level.
So speaking of would-be podcasters trying to get on our level, I actually went to a podcast meetup at the local Entrepreneurs Center. And it was kind of like a meetup slash like presentation given by an improv comedian, I suppose, but the whole theme was like active listening. And so there was like some exercises that we all did, which were fun and, you know, only slightly awkward, and people kind of went up and kind of did like a hot seat off the top of their head, like makeshift mock podcast episode, which was fun to see. And what was the coolest part was really just the meet and greet, like before and after the actual class, so to speak. So got to hang out with a lot of local podcasters. And what I was telling Andy was it was interesting because out of probably, I would say probably close to 30 people, the vast majority either had not started their podcast officially or had been doing it for like less than 6 months. And that seems to mirror what I have heard in the podcast industry, which is like most shows don't get past 7 episodes. And I think a lot of people just period probably are not the best, most natural conversationalists. And not to say that that's necessarily where I shine, but I think just like anything else, you figure it out over dozens and dozens and dozens of episodes. And so like when I was talking to a lot of these local folks, these would-be podcasters, you know, everybody had the questions about like, what technology do you use? Your microphone setup and your studio setup and your who does your editing and distribution and all this stuff. And we've talked about this all the time. It's like we set it up so we had the lowest barrier to entry and the lowest barrier to completion possible.
Right.
Which that meant, honestly, maybe some not so great audio quality episodes, especially in the early days. But, I mean, when the dynamic is right and when the content is there, people will overlook some audio imperfections. And that was the main thing that I was trying to get across to some of the people who I was talking to, which was just make sure that you have like an expertise, something that you can fill 100 episodes with. Or, you know, whether that's you solo or with a co-host or with guests, that's kind of the main thing. And like the technology, the workflow will come, but you just see so many people who just sit on their rear end and they try to plan the perfect setup for months, sometimes on end, sometimes years on end. And they'll come to these, you know, as I found out, they'll actually come to these like podcasting events and they still haven't started the damn podcast.
Sounds a lot like fitness for a lot of people. Waiting for the perfect plan instead of just getting started. I mean, it's probably the case with anything, right? It's like writing. Yep. Anything that you want to pursue to a high level. And what do they say? An imperfect start is better than I might be making this up. An imperfect start is better than no start at all.
Okay. I can get behind that.
Okay. I'm just going to roll with it.
Or something like,
maybe imperfect.
Once begun is half done.
Oh. Or like, what's his name? The actor and director is 80% of life is just showing up.
Woody Allen?
Woody Allen, I believe.
Yeah.
He's got to show up.
Yep.
I showed up with beer today and off to the races.
Showing up with beer is half, yeah. Is the job half done.
I mean, did you tell them part of like the shtick was that we drink beer?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
What'd they think?
People were super into it.
Yeah. I think it helps. To the point that they're trying to make, like the casualness, being able to active listen, you know, being able to sort of tangent and come back or whatever. I think the loosey-goosey style of our podcasts helps with that. If we had a more regimented, say it's the same thing with like training, having a great training program. When client walks in 10 minutes late, hungover from the night before, and let's say you're in a busy gym and a squat rack, the only squat rack is taken. What are you going to do? It's kind of like that. It's like being able to roll with the punches easily and it not affect like at all. Like if you come into the gym and you feel like shit, you look like shit, probably not going to be a PR day, but you know what? You showed up, you walked through the door. Let's see what we can do.
Keep it rolling.
Keep it rolling.
3-2 rolling.
Same thing with the podcast. Just keep it rolling. Look at us. 82 episodes. 82?
I think so.
I think it's 82. 82. We're pros now. We should be delivering this talk at the Entrepreneur Center.
We just might.
Next week.
I'll see if they can fit us in.
Yeah.
So that particular line of conversation came out of another line of conversation that Andy and I were having, just around self-auditing and how tricky that can be when you're basically working for yourself. You're mm-hmm. in your own bubble. Solopreneurs, I guess you could call us.
Right.
We have many bosses. Every client is a boss,
right.
I think, technically.
Right.
But in the traditional sense, we don't answer to a manager, a boss. So the buck starts and stops with us. So Andy, being the conscientious business owner that he is always thinking about how he can make his offering in the market better. So pick up and relate the story that you were telling me about the gal who was looking to join, and then that prompted your research into other options, other training options around town.
So I got an email from my website. A young lady was looking for coaching, training. She's moving to West Nashville, where my gym is. So she was just looking for a training spot and was curious about what I offered. So we went back and forth with email a couple times, and then she was like, look, it might be easier just to hop on a call. So that's what we did. And she would be a phenomenal client because she and I are like mirror. Excuse me.
Speaking of that ASMR.
Yeah, trying not to catch that. But she was looking for a training spot or whatever, and she had been doing CrossFit, but she had some complaints about it, which I have shared on the show a dozen times. She's a former college athlete, so she was like, I like to squat and deadlift and do cleans and stuff like that, but I also like HIIT and whatever. But there's a lot of things about CrossFit that I don't like. And all of her complaints about CrossFit were mine, the same complaints that I have. So I don't think she'll become a client because price point, but I don't like talking with potential clients and then being like, well, good luck, see you later. So I did some research to see if I could come up with a solution for her or to help her out because she's moving to the area. And doing my research, I realized that potentially I offer the only thing that I offer. It exists only in my gym in the area. In other words, there's a lot of CrossFit gyms. There's like Shed Fitness and F45 and a couple other places that are like the high intensity interval training. So it's like, ski ergs and battle ropes and med ball slams and things like that. Now, I want to be careful in acknowledging that a lot of those businesses are very successful and they have a lot of clients and a lot of people love that kind of work. So I'm not going to sit here and pretend or like poo-poo on it because they do great stuff and a lot of people love it. But there is no gym in the area that does exactly kind of what I'm doing. Like, coaching how to squat, coaching how to deadlift, coaching how to bench press, working on accessories, understanding the physiological processes of what we're trying to do. I sent an email last week to my list about periodization. I've sent emails about muscle building and the physiology behind it. Yeah, I mean, I keep it, what's the word I'm looking for? Pedestrian friendly.
Pedestrian.
Yeah, I keep it pedestrian level.
Yeah.
But the point being, I operate my gym in a way to be transparent with what we're doing and why. So it's not like you just come in my gym and I'm like, do this stuff because it's hard. You come into my gym, I'm like, here's what we're going to learn and why. And here's what I'm hoping to get out of this drill, lift, rep range, whatever. As far as I can tell, that doesn't exist in West Nashville like that. So it's a good market opportunity, but going back to the auditing thing, I've been in my head lately about, you know, what am I doing well? What could I do better? Knowing that that doesn't exist, I think, is a good thing because I offer something that nobody else does. That doesn't mean that I'm going to just quit looking for improvements, but that's kind of where my head's been at today. That was a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I was going to say, if there was anybody out there who was kind of doing that, they would have been on the podcast already.
Right. I mean, I'm trying to think if there's anybody in that area. I mean, we're going to have Vanessa on the podcast, and mm-hmm. I think she probably has a very similar like value system and ideology in terms of coaching and training that I do and that you do. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, I don't think it exists.
Yeah. Yeah, not really. I mean, that is the tricky thing about, I mean, really any industry, striking out on your own. You know, a lot of good coaches will either fall into line with either CrossFit or some other franchise or something that is basically already gives you like a scaffolding, that already mm-hmm. gives you a lane and a path. Again, there's nothing wrong with that.
Sure.
That's totally fine. And then you have, you know, folks like me who just kind of strike out on his own, freelance, driving all around town and all over the internet, as the case may be. And then it takes it's a whole nother level to do something like you do, or to be fair, like our buddy Sam has done out in Lebanon. To open up your own shop, your own gym, to have your name on the door, in your case, quite literally, and just have the entire process, soup to nuts, have your fingerprints on it. You know, it's what's in your head in physical manifest form. How you program, obviously the equipment that you keep and you use, all that stuff. Your skin is in the game, and that's a tall order. It's a really tall order, you know, for a lot of folks. Because again, as we know, being a practitioner, being a artist or a craftsman, taking your craft seriously, requires so much time, attention, and effort. And then being a business person takes so much time, effort, focus, and energy. And then when you want to talk about, like, you know, scaling a business, quote unquote, whatever that, you know, means for the situation, is a whole nother can of worms. So having that Venn diagram all come together is kind of a rare thing.
Yeah. It's tricky, you know, because...
But I mean, proof is in the pudding. So I mean, kudos to you for like doing your homework and all that stuff. But I mean, at the end of the day, if your clients are happy and you're growing at a rate that you're happy with, then clearly not broke.
Yeah.
Clearly doesn't need fixing.
Right. I think it's a careful balance. I was talking to my wife about this before I came over. We were having the same conversation. It's a careful balance between... And I've always been this way, actually, with anything that I've done. I've always been hypercritical of it. I don't think that I'm a good writer. I think I'm a decent coach. But point being, I'm more critical of my work than anybody else is. That is to a fault. I don't think that's necessarily a good thing. I will admit, though, that it keeps me from getting complacent and bored. So striving to improve at least the user experience, you know, programming wise, I think we're doing really good stuff, but how do I make the user experience better? Is that, you know, different music, because I was telling you about how the music is always the problem in the gym. The only real problem is like people agreeing on music. Another thing that I've been trying to focus on this week, I've got this big blank white space between my whiteboards, and I'm trying to figure out what I want to do with it. And I think I want to incorporate some sort of user experience part. Like, in other words, like an idea I was floating was anytime someone hits a PR, we either paint or put a star sticker on the wall with their PR and their initials. And every time they hit a PR, they put that sticker, that, you know, they paint that star on the wall. And over time, that wall just fills up with stars for like different PR. And you could do this every week. You could do this every month. Whenever you set a PR, stick it on the wall. So trying to like incorporate that sort of, like, yeah, get them more involved in that sort of ownership as far as like the what they're doing, why they're doing it, making, you know, making gains, making strides. I'm already doing this with their programs anyway. I have all their PRs written on the board anyway. Now we could transfer them and actually put like have some sort of ownership in the whole process. I don't know. I'm still floating the idea. You and I can talk about it Saturday or something. But yeah, looking for ways to improve the business. So it's a balance between being hypercritical of what I'm doing and knowing that we're doing good work and not getting complacent.
Yeah. Well, that mentality has taken you this far.
Yeah. I mean, it's all good. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just...
I can very much relate to this idea of, like, I'm my own biggest critic. So, like, you can say practically anything, and it's probably going to be water off a duck's back, because it's probably something that I've hashed out or I've thought about, like, to myself. So, like, what's some random comment from somebody who has no background context on the internet? How is that going to upset me?
I admire that about you, because we've talked about like having thick skin in the online world. I do not have thick skin.
Yeah.
I admire that about you.
You
even shared it the other day. It was like a comment on your YouTube.
Oh yeah. Well, I've shared a couple wacky comments on YouTube. But I mean, to be fair, just yesterday, I think, I actually shared a very nice comment, which was basically
from someone else had broken their leg.
Yeah, so actually my broken leg video series is actually like some of my most popular YouTube content.
Really?
Yeah. If you Google broken tib fib recovery, 2 or 3 of my videos come up.
Buddy, look at you with that SEO.
Yeah. I mean, and it's really not, I mean, it's nothing fancy. Honestly, there's really just not that much content out there. Like, people who are talking about their, you know, this specific injury. And with my expertise overlapping on top of that, mobility, strength, in this particular context, how that fits into like the rehab and recovery timeline. There really just isn't a lot of content out there. So, yeah, there's a little SEO involved in terms of, like, titling things and whatnot. But, I mean, honestly, these are all videos that just kind of went out. And it's kind of it's what you might call, like, an evergreen topic, because people are always breaking their legs, as I'm finding out. And so these videos started very, very slow because my audience, my built-in YouTube audience, doesn't necessarily care that I broke my leg. It doesn't really apply to them. So it was already a little bit of a departure from, like, here's a kettlebell workout, da-da-da-da-da. But a lot of people, more and more people every day, every week, are finding those videos. And yeah, I made a couple of them. Detailing my both PT prescribed rehab exercises and the ones that I kind of made up or incorporated on my own. And I put them out to do just that, to kind of help people who maybe weren't otherwise able to go to physical therapy.
Hmm.
And so every now and then you get a really nice heartfelt comment from somebody who actually realized that and is like, wow, thank you for, you know, putting this video out, because otherwise I don't have insurance, or, you know, maybe PT wasn't that great, or I'm finding different things that work for me. And that's really the cool, special thing about putting out content on the internet, is turning those lemons into lemonade. Because you can bet when I broke my leg, the first thing, not the first thing, maybe the second or third thing I thought of was, well, how can I use this terrible thing to help people?
Hmm.
And if I can be in a position to do that, then that's what I'm going to do. So all that to say, you get a lot of positive comments on YouTube. And that's great. And that keeps me motivated. That keeps me inspired. But yeah, you also do get a lot of weird negative comments. And you can just really tell. Like, these are just people who can't see past the preconceived notion that they have in their own minds.
Hmm.
You know, so it's funny to kind of read... yeah, read some of those comments. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, I can understand, because it's like, when you're an actual professional who's spent hundreds of hours and, you know, years in the field like we have, you can see a video, you can see or read content, and you just have a context for like, what actually works, what doesn't, what this author is saying, maybe what they're trying to say, maybe what they're saying for clickbait purposes or attention-grabbing purposes, or how they're falling into certain cognitive biases. I mean, you can just see all that stuff clear as day.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of people don't. So when they, like, leave comments, I just try to be... empathetic to the fact that, like, not everybody's a professional like we are. Not everybody gets what's actually going on in training or in the content that I, you know, am putting out. So, in the spirit of auditing, as, you know, kind of we've been talking about here, I do read the comments, if nothing else, to see, like, oh, how could I have presented this information better?
Hmm.
You know, so there is some of that, but most of it is just like, oh, this is just a crazy person, and it doesn't really affect me.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I admire your thick skin for that. But I also don't put content out anymore, so I don't know. Like, I don't know if my reaction would be any different than it used to be.
I mean, to be honest, you got more flack on that one T Nation article than I think I have in any, all my... content combined.
Dude, they blue checked that article. They like blue check articles that are popular.
Mm-hmm.
They blue checked that article.
Yeah.
What was insane about that was, you know, you've probably read the article. For the people who don't know in the audience,
I've gone through it with a fine tooth comb, Andy.
So the article was basically shitting on body part split workouts. Like chest day, back day, leg day, shoulder day, ab day. I can't believe people do ab days. That I don't, I'm like, I knew a guy that did like an ab day. I was like, buddy, like how many ab exercises are there that you can do that are like that effective? Anyway, point being, the reason I wrote the article is I thought that doing an ab day, chest day, leg day, shoulder day, whatever, was an inefficient use of time for most people most of the time. And I qualified that in the article. I was like, the average Joe, but, you know, work meetings come up, stress, kids, ball games, whatever. Your training program, if you're trying to go 5 days a week, might get holes blown in it because of like real life. So the article was talking about doing full body workouts or maybe even upper lower splits to try to like hit muscle groups at least once because some shit happens in the week. And qualified the article. It was a good article. Said most people, most of the time. And even in the article, I was like, look, if a body part split workout works for you, great. Like, do it. But if you're pressed for time and you can only work out two or three times a week, a full body approach is probably a better approach. People hated it. They hated it. I might as well have been talking shit about the Bible. The muscle building Bible is what I was talking shit about. And they were real like fired up. And it got heated. Like some of them got heated. Now the funny part about this, and I think I've mentioned this before in another episode, a guy that did not like my article kept chirping at me. And I was like, well, you know, qualified it with this and this and this. And he's like, but you know, this is dumb, this is bad, terrible, whatever. And at this point I was fed up. So I was like, all right, fine. If you think you can do better, if you think that my article is shit, write it and submit it and get published by T Nation. If you can do that, fine, great.
Yeah.
So, and he didn't do that, but T Nation liked that comment. T Nation themselves of liked course. My comment. I was like, look, if you think you can do better, write it and submit it and get published. Otherwise, you're just chirping from the stands. That was the first time that I like stood up for, like, stuck to my convictions, at least in that online world. I was like, I'm tired of this bullshit. If you think you can do better, then do better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's always a funny thing. It's like I get, again, the weird comments come from basically anonymous accounts.
Right.
It's like, if you know what you're talking about, where's your YouTube channel?
Right. Yeah. Hit me with some links.
Yeah. Fight fire with fire. Yeah. It's like I click through, zero videos, zero subscribers. It's like, well, thanks for your unsolicited opinion. That's like not helpful. But again, people get into such bubbles on the internet. Newsflash.
Right.
And people lose sight of how reality actually works.
Right.
Newsflash. Can you believe that happens on the internet? So I think the double-edged sword here is people like us who are so busy actually working, we don't have time to write 100 articles for T Nation or do 100 YouTube videos. I mean, we do the best that we can, right? But we're busy actually working with real people in real life.
Right.
The people who are making these comments are busy not having a girlfriend, busy not raising kids, busy probably not having a fulfilling job or some other fulfilling hobby that actually takes time and energy, you know, out of their day. So they're filling probably this void in their time and in their life by going down like every fitness rabbit hole they can. Probably, you know, conspiracy theories and,
sure,
you know, who knows what else. But these aren't people who actually can point to results that they've had for people who pay them money.
Right.
That's a big thing. I'm willing to listen to any critical feedback or read any comment, but I'm not going to take it to heart until, like, you can point to real people who have paid you money for your opinions,
mm-hmm,
for your advice, for your help. Then I might entertain your criticism. But honestly, man, like, it's funny. I also tell people this all the time. Like, not for nothing, my opinions aren't free. Like, if you want critical feedback from me, you're probably gonna have to pay for it. So I'm not, again, like, I'm too busy. I'm too busy to leave a comment on your terrible YouTube video or your terrible article. It's like, I have other stuff to do. And, you know, again, not trying to be grandiose or toot my own horn here, but again, if you're like an expert, you have some authority, some expertise in an industry, in a market, like your advice, your opinion, your perspective is worth something.
Right.
And so I'm not just out here giving it away for free.
Right.
You know? So I also try to keep all of that kind of perspective in mind, you know, because I consume a lot of content that I don't agree with, but I don't take the time to like leave a negative comment or even kind of constructive criticism. Like, you know, I hate to say it, but like no, very few people can take unsolicited critical feedback well.
Right.
I would say practically nobody can. So if I actually want to make a difference with my opinion, with my advice, it's going to be like with a client who trusts me. You know, even in like the training world, you know, like I've consulted and mentored, you know, not a whole lot, but, you know, a handful of other coaches. And it's like, now we're in an environment where my feedback actually lands.
Right.
Because you're invested and I'm invested. But if I'm not invested in your success, it's, yeah, I have clients whose success I am invested in.
Right.
That I have to deploy my energies to help.
Right.
Yeah. So that's, I don't know, that's kind of a word soup of how I think about that whole dynamic of like internet comments.
Yeah. Well, and like to that point, the only writing I do now, or almost the only writing I do now, is exclusively to my current clients on my email list. So like I write something every now and then, and the only people that read it are the people that come to see me on a regular basis. I don't publish it on my website. I don't publish it anywhere except for my email list, because those are the people that matter to me. Like those are the people I'm trying to reach, are the people that I work with currently. And I try to hash out ideas that I can't, you know, hash out well, or even should be hashing out when we're trying to do stuff. Like when people are trying to squat or deadlift or press or whatever, I'm not going to be like, hey, let's talk about periodization models. You know, it just doesn't land. Like it doesn't work. So I try to give them some stuff to chew on between sessions with my emails or whatever. That's my only writing I do now. And I'm okay with that. You know, a long time ago when I was first starting my graduate degree, I had this idea that whatever research that I would be helping, you know, data collect on or whatever, that I'd be moving the needle in exercise science in some vast, meaningful way. That's not how like research and all the literature works. You study like a very minuscule niche thing, and you could do data collection, and you just add it to the enormous pile of research in an effort that the whole thing moves in the right direction. I'm okay with my tiny little universe of AVSC. I'm all right with that. I do not give a shit anymore to have a popular name in the world beyond the four walls of my gym. I used to. I don't care anymore. As long as I can reach a handful of people in my gym, and maybe their family members or whoever that I, you know, by extension of the people that I help, I'm okay with that. I don't care about, that's part of the reason I don't do content to YouTube or whatever. It's because I don't give a shit about those people. I give a shit about the people that I hang out with and I see on a regular basis. And those are the only people I care a lot to help. And I'm okay with that.
You're a simple man.
I am. It's very simple.
I wish I could be that way.
You can be. Just disappear off the face of the earth.
Starting right now. Podcast over.
It is funny to me when we talk about like YouTube, because you do a lot of YouTube content. So you spend a lot of time on YouTube. I honestly cannot tell you the last time I was on YouTube for anything fitness related. I'll use YouTube for Toyota stuff. But I'm never on YouTube. And I have a channel with videos. Mm-hmm. I never go on there to be like, what's going on in my YouTube channel? And randomly I'll go look and be like, oh shit, that one video has like 6,000 views. I'm like, okay, how'd that happen?
Yeah. Well, again, that's one of the, I guess that's really when it comes down to it, that's probably the big difference between you and me in our approach specifically to content is I do want to help everybody. I kind of have a bit of a hero complex. I want to save them all, man.
Can't save them all. You're Batman over here trying to save Gotham.
Yeah.
And I'm, there was a character. It wasn't the Joker, but somebody in that series was like, you can't save Gotham.
I think at the end of the day, that's kind of what all the villains like tell Batman. They're just like, it's better to be greedy and evil and corrupt. But my version of Gotham is basically the whole planet. I want to save everybody. But your version is your own little crew, your own little community of people.
My microverse.
Yeah, your microverse, exactly. But that also means that you keep me maybe humble and grounded in a certain way. So I feel like maybe if I was around somebody all the time who had like even like bigger, grandiose like content goals, maybe I literally wouldn't do anything but film videos all the time. And contrary to probably what you believe, I don't do that.
You would appear to do that all the time.
It appears that I do that on the internet, but such is not the case.
For all my cynicism for content creation, I admire your fortitude and your diligence and your patience and your, I'm losing my words, but
keep going.
Consistency and all that. I do admire it. I do. There are days where I'm like, I don't know how you come up with this stuff that you want to film. I don't. I'm like, how? I literally went on Quora last week because I was like, I want to write something and I don't know what to write. So I went on Quora and was answering questions and I came up with content to write to my email list. That's why I said most of my writing is on my email list. But Quora helped inspire that because I just don't pull stuff out of thin air. At all, unless it's inspired by a conversation with a client or with you or whatever, or this podcast where I'm like prompted or whatever by conversation. I just can't come up with like an idea to talk about or write about out of thin air. I'm not that, like my mind doesn't work like that. So I have to give you credit. I admire your ability to pump this shit out like crazy.
Well, I will take all the credit I can get. So I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, man. But I mean, hey, really at the end of the day, it's fun. That's really the most important thing. To me, it's fun. And with my mindset, it's helping me become a better coach, which helps me help more people. And that's the whole motivation. So.
Well, and I like our dynamic because I think there are, like, you'll inspire me in certain ways. Like, now I'm thinking about, like, something, like, doing, an Instagram story about, like, some of the workouts I'm going to do tomorrow. Now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, oh, well, I could do that. I could be on camera for once.
Yeah.
And talk about what I'm doing and why. I don't know if I will. I'll think about it.
That's all I ask.
Okay. Planting the seed.
That's it. Well, right on, man. Well, anything else on your mind? Anything else you want to chat about?
No, I think I'm good.
Cool. Dig it. So I think this has given our listeners a little kind of peek behind the curtain. There's a little behind the scenes.
How our brains work.
How our brains work.
Yeah.
So this one's for the real ones.
Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. It works better some days.
Yeah. Well, it's wild that we've been able to maintain a Monday schedule, because I feel like Mondays, especially by the end of the day, are the days when my brain is working least well.
I'm probably the same, actually. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm trying to think of like what day. That or Friday. Like, if you were like, let's do it Friday afternoon, I'd be like, no. Unless we are at a brewery. Like, at a brewery.
Yeah. Nah. We'd really have to, yeah, you'd have to bring a lot of energy. The environment would have to bring a lot of energy.
Right. I think Sunday would be my worst. I actually think Monday's okay, because it's like right into the week, so I'm like ready to do the thing. But Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, nuh-uh. Be like, dude, it's the weekend. You'd be like, it's Thursday. I'd be like, no, it's the weekend. I'm tired. I'm done. We're attached to Friday, which is attached to Saturday, which is attached to Sunday. Nah.
I'm just always tired. Like Post Malone.
I think that's just being in your 30s, dude.
I think so.
Just always tired. Oh, buddy. All right. Anything you want to finish on?
No. On that amazing note, yeah. I want to say thank you out there for listening. If you're not already, be sure to subscribe to Andy's Instagram. Follow.
I need those followers.
He does.
Get those numbers up.
Because when he starts posting all these PRs that his clients are making, he's going to need a big audience to show off to. What's your Instagram? A-V...
A Van Gren, A-V-A-N-G-R-I-N.
That's the one you're most...
Yeah, I have another one, but I'm not on it.
Yeah.
I feel like I tried to delete it and I couldn't figure it out. Yeah. Well, in fairness, the pictures on there are actually decent. So anyway, I'll figure it out.
Cool. Yeah, so thank you all very much for listening. We're going to have a pretty substantial announcement probably here in the next few weeks. For those of you who are in Nashville, and for those of you who can get to Nashville.
Bruh.
At the end of January.
Bruh.
Yep. So stay tuned for that. And that's it from us for today. A to Z, no BS. Thank you for listening. We will see you next time.
Goodbye.